Good afternoon.
Albert just joined.
I'd like to call to order the regular commissioners meeting for San Juan County Fire District Number 3. Start with roll call. Commissioner Colley?
Here.
Commissioner Olson?
Here.
Okay, and Commissioner Cardinal is here. We have a forum. Let's start with, are there any additions or changes to the agenda? Haven't seen none. Okay. Do we have any correspondence?
We do. We received a letter from, I will pass it along. It's a thank you from.
Ellen Wall.
Nolan.
Other than that, we have no other correspondence.
And this is just thanking us for amazing fire team, as young Mr. Nolan puts it. Okay, do we have any citizens' comments? We do be advised that we would like you to state your name and your address, and you will have 3 minutes in which to make your comments.
I don't see anybody of the five that are online, and no one in the room is requesting.
Okay. Not hearing any comments. Let's move on to the consent agenda.
Give me one moment. I will mute everyone but Commissioner Olson. And let me confirm, Commissioner Olson, you're still on, correct?
Yes.
Okay, you are set. Thank you.
All righty. Do we have any corrections to the minutes of the regular meeting of March 8th, 2022? Everybody have a chance to look at that?
Yeah.
Albert?
I'm fine with them.
You're fine? Okay.
No.
Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion when you approve the minutes as published.
Okay, we have a motion.
And I'll.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Okay, passes. Bills and payrolls.
Payroll's on the top of your ledgers. You have overtime called out, and you have standard payroll. Be happy to answer any questions on payroll, and then we can move to the bills.
That's volunteer pay. That's the result of fire.
No, we do regular stipends as long as we have members in good standing. That's just an automatic part.
Any overtime that may be incurred from the fires should be on next month's?
Correct. And no, this is, would be a good time to talk about Victoria Compton.
Sure. So Victoria Compton, who's Economic Development Council Administrator, she contacted us yesterday in late hour stating there's an opportunity to add some pork barrel last minute legislative request through the governor's office in relation to this event, the fire that we had recently. And she asked for any costs that we could summarize real quick before last night midnight related to that. So I sat down quickly, talked to the chief guy, said, let's go for it. Sat down, penciled out a rough cost of overtime hours, fuel usage, taking care of the visiting firefighters, just the general overage cost that is above and beyond our normal operating expense, and was able to submit that. So we'll see. There was interest at the governor's office to provide that, and there was an opportunity to fit it in there. And so she's trying to do that. So that's to the tune of about $14,000.
Great. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, the fuel. I was surprised that we went through a fair amount of fuel, but not as much as I thought for the amount of hours that we were there for. Okay. Having heard no other questions on payroll.
I'll make a motion to pay the payroll.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes. Okay, bills?
Nothing jumps out of the ordinary. Be happy to answer any questions on the bills that you have before you.
I have no questions.
Okay. I didn't see anything unusual here. Everything was pretty standard for us for this month.
The one I will call to your attention, you see the reimbursement for airfare for me back to DC for the meeting. That was to the Congressional Fire Service Institute and meetings on Capitol Hill with electeds, USDA and others that I've gone to in the past. What I did get agreed to from the Volunteer and Combination Officer section that I sit on the board on, they are splitting the bill. So we agreed that since we do have travel money that I would normally have to go to conferences, we're picking up the airfare and they're picking up the entire rest of the trip. So hotel, dinner, any travel expenses on ground, getting us around Capitol Hill, which I'll brief you during Chief's report. So that was our split. So that was simply the airfare to get back to that.
Okay, any questions on the bills? Okay, do I have a motion?
I would make a motion to pay the bills as presented by Chief for the past month.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, motion passes. Okay, new business?
None to bring before you.
Okay. How about old business?
Would like to remind everyone that there is the work session coming up on the 26th. I do understand that Commissioner Olson will be returning on the 28th. I would throw out as a suggestion or consideration, do you want to bump it by a few days so that he could be in person? Or do you want to continue to have it on the 26th? I do have the three main topics to discuss, but I thought I'd throw that out because you're missing by a couple days before Commissioner Olson does get back in person.
Albert, would you be available after the 28th?
Yeah, but not on flying on the 28th. I'm busy on the 29th. I think that's a Friday, isn't it?
Correct.
Could we do it Monday or Tuesday? Any day after that, I'm open.
Okay, so.
No, I won't be here. I'm going back on the 27th to my son's graduation from college.
Okay.
It'll have to be after the 7th of May.
Well, that would work for me too, because the 3rd is no good. What about the 9th? Albert, is the 9th?
Fine with me. Yeah, 9th will work.
9th work for you? That's a Monday.
Monday, I see any reason why not.
Okay, so we schedule for Monday the 9th?
Sure.
Here.
Okay. We'll make sure that we get the details. Would you like the same time? We had it set at a 1400 start.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So we will move the work session to the 9th of May at 2:00. All right.
Okay.
That's what we've got. The three topics that I have for the agenda that I will finalize with you all is wanted to talk about strategic direction. Most organizations are moving away from full incorporated strategic plans that a lot of times people do it and then it sits on the shelf. we still need to have direction, still need to have feedback. And the new, the way that people are going in most organizations now are strategic directions. They can be more nimble, more dynamic, and change on a regular basis if need be, especially annually. So like to review what we've got from that, talk about finances and talk about some staffing plans and what we can do for the future. Those are the three main topics for session.
Sounds good.
Okay.
On that. Yep.
Nothing else on old business.
Okay, let's move on to staff reports.
Staff reports.
Financials?
Financials to start, yes. Before you, you can see that through basically the first quarter, our target is at 25%. I'll give you the summary year today, and then we'll go into specifics for March. As you can tell up on the revenue side of things, we did have some money starting to come in general fund. Actuals to date is a little over 400,000. It's at 21%, so we still anticipate more of the tax funds coming in. We are at 42% overall for year to date on revenues. Remember, our target is 25%. That check and balance is for the bank loan that you see under the capital projects, which is at 25%. We are coming in at 22% for personnel expenses and 13% for materials and services. So we're under budget overall. Total expenses, we are at 19% at $480,919. Gives us the difference between where we are on revenues and expenses of $728,783.
So does this, we had because we weren't getting paid city or coverage because they're now part of them. So
correct.
We're waiting for the tax commitment. Have we made up that difference that we?
I will hit that in March, and then I will be able to tell you where we are, where we're anticipating, when we're going to be able to move some money back across.
Okay.
I'm not going to hit the overview. I'll hit specifically if you go to the second page where you see the fund balances. And then the revenues. Last month for revenues in general fund, we brought in $285,448, which is tax revenue. So as we anticipate in March and then coming in April and May, we're going to be getting more tax revenues. We've already brought in $285,000 on that. So total in general fund, you notice that the investment is low. That's what we have moved across, but we have $309,000 in the cash fund. $37,000 sits in LOSAP. We will be moving money back over into our reserves. We had investments, 258. As you know, last month we moved 100,000 over. As soon as we start getting the next block of tax payments in, most likely in April, so first part of May, we'll move that 100,000 back over into reserves. We'll also move some from cash into investments in the general fund. So have we caught up completely? No. But we have brought in enough to maintain our monthly expenditures as we move forward.
I would like to make a statement of some things that I've been told that are incorrect.
Okay.
I've been told by members of the public that we're so broke we're spending money to pay payroll out of reserves. And I'd like to categorically say that is it not true, that this is standard practice and that this money is coming back in as soon as taxes come in, and this was all authorized.
That is correct.
Broke paying payroll out of reserves.
That is correct. And as Chair Cardinale mentioned at the very beginning, because we had $50,000 coming in from the contractual agreement for fire protection from the town. That went away as of January 1st, so we had to be able to wait until we started getting the tax funds that came in from that new annexed areas, both the outer islands as well as the town, which are then part of tax revenue. You all knew and approved, to your point, Commissioner Colley, that that was planned. We knew that we were going to be short until, but we had reserves for that, both in general fund as well as reserves. As soon as the the tax monies come in, which were appropriated from the very beginning. They're starting to come in now. They will be moved back into investments and back into the reserves as they were. This was a temporary piece. And moving forward, this is a one-time venture because we annexed in and they were no longer under contract. So in future years, this won't be an issue because everything will be in alignment and you predicate back to where your taxes come in, independent from any of the additional contracts, which no longer exist. On expenditures, as we continue on that, personnel expenditures are in line with where we would expect, and we spent $45,000 on materials and services last month. So overview between all of your asset funds, there's $638,534 in cash, investments, and LOSAP. And we had $197,000 that we had for liabilities. That includes the payment for the apparatus, as well as our standard general fund expenditures. Be happy to answer any additional questions that haven't come up to this point on the overview year to date, as well as last month's finances.
Well, I'd like to make one comment on the previous subject of why we transferred money. If we had the foresight when we annexed the town, we would have not put that much money into reserve, and that would have been in our general fund, and we would have never had to transfer any money. That's the way most districts work, because you're collecting money for the year that you're paying out the taxes that are coming in. So, like the chief says, next year it won't be an issue.
Right. So,
yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with the assets, but the LOSAP.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone drawn from that since we made all the transfers?
Since we adjusted to the stipend,
yeah.
There were some people that transitioned out at that time. And within the year following, we have had no additionals that have put in to retire out, and there's been no new draws out of LOSAP.
There are going to be two soon. Ken Clark and Harry wants to cash out.
His actually, didn't close his already?
No. Not
okay. As low. Okay, so where those would play in once they come in for processing, that's why they're still, we anticipated that we had anyone that was already vested in the system. We wanted to maintain enough in that to be able to pay them out. So in that $37,000 that is sitting in, it's $37,697 sits in the LOSAP accounts. That will take care of any of our members that were vested when they go out. So the recent retirement of Ken Clark and then of Harry C. That's already embedded in that number that we have in savings, anticipating that those people would go out. Mm-hmm. So no one other than who's anticipated have gone out.
Okay, great, thank you.
If there's no other questions on financials, we can move into the rest of staff report.
That's good.
Turn over to Assistant Chief Monin for our ops report.
Thank you, Chief. So real quick, we're going to go through March numbers for you. March of 2022, we had 78 total responses. 64% were EMS and rescue responses. 36% were all other fires, hazards, and services for a total average of 2.48 calls per day. If you take a look, particularly at reaction time and travel time, really good numbers on that. I'm very pleased. We had a minute and 26 seconds average for reaction time, which is under our 90-second goal. And the travel time was just over 7 minutes, at 7 minutes and 1 second, which is very excellent for all calls across the island. I added some background for you this is just for comparables. So if you look at the year ending in March 2022 from March 2021, you got your total responses, your stats on EMS rescue versus all other fires and hazards, responses per day average, and reaction time and travel time. And then I did a 2-year snapshot for you as well, so you can see how those numbers compress out. And what's really nice about that in terms of our performance piece on the reaction time and travel time, as you can see, it's improving over time. And that's, I think that's just us stretching our legs, getting used to a shifting model, getting our shift crew, you know, getting used to being on shift and being ready to go and flexible and nimble and moving from call to call and that kind of thing. So hopefully those numbers help us see the bigger picture and how we're actually continue to improve.
March of 20, that would have been
that's
the first went to 24 hour shift.
Yeah, that is the end of March of 20 is when we went to shifting. Total responses by station area for the month of March 2022. You got that broken out in a pie graph for you. And I went ahead and did a 1 year total responses by station area as a comparable. So you can see those numbers flex out. And why the blue didn't give you a number, I don't know, but it does say it on the right there at headquarters that I guess you just have to do your own on that.
Is it there?
There's there.
It's all right. No, your bottom one. It's embedded in the right
it's
here.
In the picture.
Well, you can tell me what that is.
It's like 760 something.
Anybody who gets it right gets a popsicle.
It's embedded in the blue. There's a black number in the blue that you can't see.
I said 703.
Oh, gosh.
This is like those eye tests.
That sounds
right.
I think Carl's pretty close there. I think that's where the number sounds right, the 700 range.
If you play it backwards, it tells you.
So if you please flip over the page and move on. Average zonal times and response volume for the month of March. I went ahead and graphed that out for you so you can see that visually. Over on the right column gives you the numbers. So you have the central zone is travel time. Is a 5-minute and 41-second average, which is the station 31 area and station 36. The south zone is a 10-minute 47-second average response time. That is station 32 down at the Cape and station 33 off Baylor Hill. And then the north end, obviously we've been targeting that one because it's the larger chunk of our call volume, but also it's the slower response time because it's north across the island. And that's at 14 minutes and 33 seconds. Some short reports for you. We did meet minimum staffing for the month of March. As a note, call volume is up 13% compared to March of last year. And it seems like the trend is basically happening each year. The numbers are going up. And I believe the year prior was like 9%. So that's something to keep an eye on. Shift crews, again, they're staying busy as usual, doing their normal routines. And like I said, the reaction time beat the 90-second standard for the month of March, which is great. And then travel times were below average for that month, which is also great. Salmon County Firefighter Academy is complete, and I'm sure Carl will have a little bit more to say about that. Just as a cap, I wanted to say that the recruits from Orcas Lopez and Sam Juan visited us for the live fire training event. A couple weeks ago, were great to have over. It was good to have the same equipment. And it was obvious that everyone was training under sort of the same model. And we had some continuity there in terms of the live fire training. Operations review of John's Island was completed. Chief and I went over several weeks back and met with the Camp Norwester facilities director. Mm-hmm. And went over basically their road networks, trail system, discovered that the landing beaches we had picked, we liked them, and talked about, you know, a bigger plan for serving them and getting them involved under our district now that they're in the district and paying taxes. So that was a good visit. And it's also the intent of that visit was to get a good idea of what we want to look at when we explore some of the other islands that came under our district. So using that as a model. It's a smaller island, easy to get around. We were able to do it in a couple hours. And we have a format now for a form. So now we can send our crews out in the boat to go do the same thing we did, but have our personnel go do it and do that reach out and start building those relationships. National Parks met with us a few weeks ago, discuss and review our contract with them, and no big news there.
Can you tell me what that is?
You if you want to expand on it.
Sure. So national parks, we have agreements to protect both, well, all the national parks on the island. So, but predominantly that's going to be American Camp and English Camp. Annually, we renew the contract with them. So they come over, we go through the details. How do we support them? How do they support us? What kind of resources can we look into? The biggest components that we have from that standpoint is they have a new local person that they wanted to introduce. Secondary pieces, as you know, that we've been talking about a couple station relocations onto both of those properties, reiterating both from them and us that we're still interested. They're still fully on board to make that happen for us. The other piece that was very positive is they want to do some additional training. They're also looking at, if possible, of relocating some resources. I will say the biggest thing that Noel, off the cuff, when they were offering some staffing, so hey, during wildland times, if we could, when would it like pop up around here? And Noel goes, July 4th, and they go, you might be able to do that. Send a crew over to hang out with us over that 4th of July weekend. Should we get some calls? Should stuff come up? So they're currently trying to see, unless they're tapped somewhere in the country, they're considering sending a crew over with a type 3 rig to give us some additional staffing over 4th of July weekend. And if that works out, because they want a greater presence in supporting us, and otherwise they want to move some over. So those were some of the conversations we had from a training perspective, a staffing perspective, and then those station relocation perspectives.
So would you explain for those people that don't know,
mm-hmm,
what a type 3 rig is?
So that's your heavier wildland, so smaller than a big engine that you would have like we just had on the Spring Street fire, but not as small as a pickup. So it carries more water, it carries wildland hose, more gallons of water than the smaller ones. Yeah, so in the bay we have one of those, but for anyone that listens that can't see in the bay, it's a pickup chassis, but it has more water and a few more operating tools, generally can carry 4 personnel as opposed to the 2.
Isn't the rig we have on Brown Island a type 3?
Yeah, it was purchased as a type 3. It is currently a type 3 and set up as an urban interface. So we added a bunch of structure protection stuff on there.
Yeah, I thought, okay.
It's its own type.
It's a,
yeah, it's designed by committee, remember?
Yeah,
right.
Does that answer your question?
Right.
So, and then just an update on staffing. We're going to be short for a while. We have one career position is on leave, minimally until early May, and that position is being covered by existing officers, and we're working around some volunteer roles, basically filling AO positions and some opportunities to work up. So just know we're handling it, and it's so far it's being scheduled and being handled. We got notice that one of our part-time AOs, Kathleen Salinas, decided to resign her position, continue to be a volunteer, but doesn't want to do the shifting thing anymore. She just had her birthday and she's ready to turn in her hat on that bucket list piece. But the good news is we reached out. We had an active hiring list for the AO roles. We'd been going through some process and we keep that list active. And I went down the list in order of scoring. So we do that process through a scoring process. And we had one of the folks on that list agree to pick up her part-time position. So it's filled again. And then finally,
that's a volunteer moving to an acting.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a final piece, the countywide CODAN communication system is continue to have to delays in their system and setup. But we're all the agencies that are partnered and basically preparing for that new system are working to be cut over, what we call cut over ready. So we're just kind of on the wing right now, waiting to hear from the county about that system. That's all I have for an ops report. Unless there's other questions, I'll pass it back to the chief.
So,
Albert, any questions on Joel's report?
No, I'm fine. Go ahead.
It seems like every time CODAN comes up, it's delayed again. This isn't the first time we've heard this.
No, and I think it's been a combination of the perfect storm. So I know like supply chain issues were initially the issue, getting people over here, COVID was a legitimate excuse that delayed a lot of stuff for them. When they got over here, they were really excited and everything was sort of on target. They had a new target date and everything is ready. Well, then they realized the logistics of working out here, and that snowballed them a bit. So it's been, I mean, at this point, it's got to be a comedy of errors. I mean, it's just like one thing after another. So I guess, you know, folks have learned and they're still working on it. It's a contractual piece. It's going to go in. It's going to happen. And they're doing it right, I believe. It's that just means it's delaying.
I think they're looking at a week or two out now. It was taking them longer to get all the equipment installed. So we're getting very close to the cutover date. But it was getting bumped for the reasons that Chief Monin mentioned.
Last date I heard was the 23rd of April.
And then it got bumped another week because it was supposed to be like the 14th. So, right. So the 28th is the next target date.
You go pick it up and kick it.
So
I'm sure it'll happen someday.
It will. So fleet wise, in prep for our work session, I've asked Tad and he is putting on his computer hat, and you know how that works. He is becoming our new expert on Excel. So he is putting together all of our apparatus, both from a major standpoint, major assets, minor assets, and then tracking them out. When were they purchased? How much were they? We have all the data. I asked him to put it together so that we can give you some charts, some trending lines, so you can see how much is it costing for preventative maintenance on an ongoing basis. Are we seeing an uptick in corrective maintenance? And so then we can start to project out. Bottom line from what he's shown me thus far and what we knew to be the case is we have good equipment that's being well maintained. We want to be able to, as we walk into your meetings and we look at future reaching strategic planning, is when do we want to start contemplating replacement of that equipment? It's young, it doesn't get a lot of miles, and you'll appreciate this, Commissioner, that we're looking at not only mileage, but engine. Because on a fire engine, like take the fire that just transpired, you had an engine that sat there but ran for 16 hours. Well, that's not going to be caught in mileage. It will be for engine hours. So those reports are going to have what's the mileage as well as what the engine hours are. Okay, so those are all being put together, and he's maintaining and working on his annual checks and fleet maintenance. Anything else you'd like to add? Good to go. Any questions on fleet? Carl, would you like to talk about our training academy and how that training burn went and how our people and partners from the other islands performed?
I would be happy to. I just want to say that to reiterate again that our first quarter is complete and we're continuing our competency-based training for both fire and medical, and we're on track with that. The recruit class is complete. We had eight recruits coming in. Once we got the ball rolling, we graduated seven of those. One chose that the structural component was just a little too taxing, but continued to audit the class. So already a member of our organization, has a better understanding of fire ground operations and can contribute outside the building. So I count that as a success. That one recruit also participated in the training burn, but again, outside of the structure and in more of a organizational capacity. It was in fact the aide to the incident commander. Worked out pretty well. So eight recruits went through that class. We had four from Orcas and two from Lopez, all participated. Orcas brought Lopez brought Chief Bigby over. Along with their two recruits and two other firefighters to participate as a full crew. Orcas brought their four recruits, their PIO, Kim Kimple, came to help out with that, the public aspect of that training burn, along with our PIO, Chuck Deldor. Assistant Chief Van Shaik was there, part of the interior crew with Chief Collins, to help with the training burns and the sets and to keep everything running smoothly inside the building while their recruits kind of went through. We had five different crews kind of rotating through to make sure that they had time inside the structure. I think overall went very, very well. We had good comments from the public. Nobody seemed to have any major issues. The questions that they had were answered and a lot of support from the community. We ended up having to delay a week because of the weather forecast, but got it scheduled, got it done, and moving on. And we saw a lot of those recruits show up for the actual fire on Spring Street there. So and all integrated seamlessly, so feel really good about that.
So a couple of the pieces that you may have read about that we talked about coming out of this training burn, this was the first opportunity we really had since getting the Assistance to Firefighters grant that was awarded a couple years ago, where we all went in together, we being all of the recognized fire departments for the county, Shaw, Orcas, Lopez, us. We bought the same air packs, and those are the MSA SCBAs, our self-contained breathing apparatus. So we have the same bottles, the same packs, had the same training on it. They've used it through the training academy. They all came together on this one. We have the ability to fill the bottles here. So this training academy, everyone came together and we found how that plan for the system truly paid off. We didn't have to have different bottles. We didn't have to have different training. And it was integrated very smoothly. So our people that were filling the bottles were able to take them, fill them, put them back on. And at the end of the day, to make sure the bottles went back to the proper organizations, when we purchased them, they were all labeled. And there's a numbering sequence. So we knew which ones were Orcas's bottles, which ones were our bottles, which ones were Lopez bottles. So at the end of the day, they all went back with full bottles. They were slower fills. It was a training burn. It was fine. Fast forward to a few days ago, those same organizations came over to support us on the fire on Spring Street, same thing, except for they were hot filled. So they may not have been to the total amount of air, but all of the equipment was able to be filled and interacted smoothly. I have to say I was fortunate on that fire. Noel had incident command. Carl was running around making sure things went right from a training officer's perspective. I got to be interior. Introduce our newest firefighters in the county to fire behavior. We had the opportunity in this very interesting structure to build a few different fires. So the main room was big enough that we could do the initial fire behavior burns in three different sets to give them three different views of how smoke moves, how heat moves, and we had everybody inside at the same time. We were then able to put that out and let them do some hose pulls, some hose movement. We had some areas that if people were going to get a little claustrophobic going down a dark hallway with smoke and heat, we knew where it was going to happen. We did have two people, but they were taken care of because they knew what to anticipate and the leads in those groups were able to anticipate. I was lucky enough to have my stellar interior crew. So I was able to go in with Assistant Chief Holly Van Chayek from Orcas. I had one of our newest members who is a fire officer, firefighter two training officer that came over, Sarah Hill, and I found out that those two had worked together on the mainland. So they got to have old homecoming day. I had Captain Graham, and as she likes to refer to herself, the two of them are twins, and I had Katie English was my interior team. At the end, they gave me one additional person from Lopez, and they worked really well together. This was the first time, with the exception of Katie and Aaron, that we had worked together. Communication was good. Coordination was good. And at the end of the day, recruits came out, some big eyes, some really good learning opportunities that then they were sharing. And you could see them progress with their skills through the day of the burn. Fast forward now for the rest of our report. I'll talk about the trip back to CFSI, but I'll take a moment and talk about the fire that's still under investigation. So I would ask some detailed questions. Those will come out once ATF is finished with their investigation. All the agencies came together again to help support the fire on Spring Street. Chief Monin got in, and I'll let him talk briefly about how that transpired from the first in company officers. I will say that because of the change in deployment strategies that we had, that this had 24-hour staffing here. We'll have some additional conversation at the work session, but having the staffing here that you've heard us talk about before, reducing the response reflex time by 7 minutes. If we had had an all-volunteer staff without this staffing and had an additional 7 minutes for reflex time, that would have changed this fire. We were also very fortunate that the day before and the days after that we've had with wind, we didn't have that morning. That would have dramatically have changed this fire as well. I also believe that the training that came out and the drilling and the competency base that the fire defense board chiefs have decided within the county that that's where we want to go to make sure that when things happen, we have competent firefighters that perform, that played out. Our firefighters got in, whether it was Orcas, whether it was Lopez, whether it was ours, they worked fluidly together. And we were able to, because our PIO is on vacation in Europe, so he can't do a really good job of being our PIO from England. We brought over Kim Kimple, who is dialed in and was able to take on that role. And she had done it 2 weeks before. So she knows our system, she knows our people, and she's got the relationship with media. And she was fielding calls, as I was fielding calls, clear across the country from Seattle. She was handling when she got on scene, and communication was good. I was able to answer questions in DC because Noel kept me informed, Kim kept me informed. And then I knew that we had a team at home that was stopping this fire. That could have been far more catastrophic. It was a dramatic, impactful fire. But our teams got in there and they limited it as best as they could. That was a well-involved fire to begin with. We'll be able to share more once investigation is done. But you can be proud of how your team performed from a firefighting standpoint. Anything you'd like to add as I see?
No, I think just from a community perspective, obviously getting on scene, as the chief noted, it was well involved when we arrived. Thankfully, we do have a shift crew. It's two personnel. It was two personnel and myself. So you know, we mustered the best we could, given the size and complexity of fire initially. It would have been nice to have a couple more. I think we could have done a lot more at the time, but the communities, you know, we've taken a different direction for now in terms of having better staffing. I will say, I think we need to acknowledge first that our membership stepped up, did an excellent job. Our volunteers stepped up and did an excellent job. The staff that we have on that are paid and were available showed up and stepped up. So. It was an all hands on deck fire, and for the most part, almost everybody showed up and helped. So that's important to note. Partner agencies, we did get a lot of help and support from other agencies. Initially, Brendan Cowan from Department of Emergency Management tied in with me at command, asked if I need anything. I said, I need state MO, I need help, I need off island resources. He handled that for us and made a quick transition for that so that I was able to get in contact with the region coordinator and quickly decide what I needed, and they got resources out to us that by that evening. I had town of Friday Harbor, the crews there, the water crew, the water department, and the street crew were very helpful. They were proactive. They were actually out hands-on and in the cold areas, but the areas we knew were going to be, you know, the fire was making its way to, and helping out and securing things and shutting water lines and actively working to help prevent further damage and loss and expense. Opalco was there working hand in hand with us, shutting power meters. We were giving them protection to help shut stuff off. Good teamwork, good communication. They knew to check in with command, got in the system, and were directly, you know, working with us to safely do their work. It was good to have the sheriff deputies there to help cordon off area, help us keep public at bay, and assist with that, and be part of you know, keeping the looky-loos out and begin also helping with the initial investigation pieces. We also had Chad Kimple from the fire marshal's office. He came in and began assisting and essentially getting the resources out for investigation, knowing we were going to need that. He tied in with the IC, with the command, and we talked about it. I said, get your region guys here. You know, they're happy to come out and help. That's what they do. They help the region. He made the phone call, came back. It's like, yeah, I think they want to go ATF, and, you know, talked about it. Talked about the dollar loss, and I was like, they know better than I do. I don't know. So that's when ATF was, it was decided to go ahead and let's pull the trigger. ATF can come out and help. And then big thanks to ATF themselves. They came in, they're professional. They checked in with us and, you know, established very clearly what their needs were and how we needed to go about continuing. We're still suppression mode. We're still, you know, hot spotting and, but, you know, they wanted us to preserve stuff. And at that point, another thanks goes out to MEM Construction. They got their excavator out right away, which was integral in keeping the fire contained. We had to make a decision to destroy parts of those buildings to ensure it wasn't going to spread into the other buildings. And having that operator that we worked with on the training fire just a couple of weeks prior made it really ideal because we were already speaking the same language. Also working with ATF, so, you know, we didn't destroy as much as there was some negotiating that was going on, though. So there were some moments it's like, well, I need that out. And the agent was like, well, I need that preserved. I'm like, okay, do you want it? Is it your fire? Is it our, you know, is that kind of thing? It's like, okay, but just try not to do too much. But yeah, we were working together really well. It was good. So yeah, I did want to note all that. And if I missed anybody, I apologize. Oh, the community. I mean, the community is a big one. And border customs, those guys opened up their doors. Kevin was out there right away helping us. He seems like he comes to our big fires and always wants to be helpful and just offers a hand as a liaison to his agency. And the community coming out and just, you know, floods with food and giving our folks drink and food and keeping us nourished while we were in the fight. Probably missing somebody, but
State ferries,
right? They mustered transportation, so they actually mustered Orcas to get them over early, and they even suited up. So the supervisor, ferry supervisor, he basically suited up his crew, and three of them came over to help, and they're like, we're ready to help, and we cut them loose, which was, he was actually relieved, I think, on that one, because well, no, he wanted to help, but I think it was, we weren't close enough to their dock, and he was worried that there'd be, he'd be in trouble, so for stepping off his jurisdiction. But overall, I mean, there's a lot of learning lessons. I think Chief and I are coming up with a part of our post-incident analysis. There needs to be some framing up of whose boundaries are whose. And it's very clear to me that there's a misunderstanding locally of what ICS is and NIMS compliance is at the top levels. And that came very clear on day two. And I'm not going to belabor the issue publicly, but it's something that needs to be shared. And Chief and I need to frame up so that those other agency department heads understand that we know it wasn't correct and they need to know that we know. And so that moving forward, hopefully we can do things a little better.
So in conclusion on that, the other pieces I want to bring to light is the public not only and the community not only stepped up to support our needs, but they're also thinking downstream of how can we help those businesses and the people that are out of the jobs and how long is it going to take to rebuild that. So moving into the recovery phase, the community is still involved in trying to help out those impacted by this devastating fire. The other thing that I think is important to note is that yesterday, I think I spent more time in town administrator Denise Colsess' office than I did my own in trying to make sure that she's in the loop. She's newer in that position, but how do we look to recovery? How do we work in partnership? Ryan, as the town planner and fire marshal currently, Denise and I were having some conversations of how do we see the future? How do we make this better? How do we improve community risk reduction from a code standpoint, from a inspection standpoint, that we move forward? Our commitment to each other and to our community is whatever happened in the past, it's the past. How do we create our new future vision and state? Because we have to address it. When they came under our jurisdiction as of January 1, whatever happened before, it was contractual. Well, now they're under us, and we have some opportunities to really bolster our community risk reduction planning from a how do we talk about fire life safety codes? How do we ensure that those fire life safety codes are managed and supported as we move forward? And then how do we make sure that we integrate with an incident like this, that the town is truly involved because they need to be during the event and then following the event? So we wanted to reconnect stuff. The other cool thing that's happening on this is this afternoon, I believe it was going to happen, our crisis response canine was going down to meet with theirs because ATF brought in two different dogs. One is an explosive dog and one as a flammable liquids dog, as they bring in standardly on any of their investigations. Not that there was anything that was significant that they knew about. That's just what they bring in. Well, when we were having an opportunity of talking to them about how our canine works, they're like, wow, that is really cool. I'd love to learn more about it. So they got to do a meet and greet and start sharing some of that information of some other ways that they can use canines in support for the responders. Be happy to answer any questions that any of you have that we can at this point in time, knowing that it's still under investigation.
Albert, any questions?
Well, I have one. Kind of refresh my memory, and I think my fellow commissioners' memory, how, you know, when a call comes in, like this call comes in, you know, we have mutual aid with our other fire districts in the county, but go a little further and see, and when Noel's, you know, got help from Snohomish County, how all that was set up and how that works.
So the automatic aid and mutual aid that we have within county, that's a simple call through dispatch and through the other agencies that say we need additional help. So that's, as you stated, that's how we get Orcas, Lopez, and or Shaw to come over to help us. When it goes outside of that, this is where emergency management and Brendan Cowan came into play. He then, as the emergency manager for the county, gets to reach out to the state level and the region level to request a state or a regional mobilization. So once that has to get approved through the region coordinators and the governor's office, they can then take State Patrol. Thank you. Then it gets approved through them. So then they can tap whoever is on call. So there's a rundown of list of, if you're on a mobilization list, they go down, okay, who's the first three agencies up? They request, here's the resources we need. That's part of the information that comes across that says we need three structural type one engines. That's our main fire engines that we have. They reach out to that group. They put the crews together and they ship them over under a state mobilization. That helps with some funding. It helps with tracking. It assures that I's are dotted and T's are crossed and the emergency manager pushes into that system. Similarly, the way that investigation works is that was hooked into whether it's town fire marshal or the county fire marshal. They reach into the regional system. Regional then said, here's the capabilities that we have. We believe it's bigger. It used to be $1 million loss potential to go greater. Over the years, that's increased to a $5 million loss before they consider to go greater. And because this one initially was looking at a $10 plus million loss, that triggered our regional groups to reach out to national ATF to say, hey, we need some help. Could you come in? So what that meant is that entire regional ATF team, because everyone who will finish paying their taxes as of April 18th, the federal dollars are paying to bring in that outside ATF team. So there is no costing for that ATF team to our local community. Does that answer your question, Commissioner Olson, on how those play out?
Yes, yes, it does. Great.
If there's no other questions on that, I'll move off to that really quick trip that I was able to do at the same time. And I will add this little point of levity that Noel believes that since last week was supposed to be my on-call week, that Noel adopts my black cloud that follows me around everywhere. And he also has now stated that for every 1 week he covers for me, I owe him 2 weeks back, just to make things fair. Anyway, Congressional Fire Service Institute is what I went back to in DC. I've been going back to that for a number of years. What that does is we're able to go back to Washington, DC, meet with politicians on Capitol Hill, meet with key directors in different government agencies like USDA. We're able to talk about needs at our local area. A couple years ago when we were having some challenges with airlift and some of the challenges that we had from who's accepting, who's paying and not, I was able to talk to different people and inform them at the national level to help us make changes in that. This year we went back, we were able to help convince Congress and our politicians to support the Assistance to Firefighter Grants, which allowed us to buy the SCBAs as well as the SAFER, which is a staffing one. They actually added another $100 million nationally to those programs and are looking at it going forward. The other thing that was really an honor to be able to go back for that, as you know, I sit on the Volunteer and Combination Officer section for the International Association of Fire Chiefs. One of the publications that I was honored to help write was the Lavender Ribbon Report that had to do with reduction and awareness for cancers in the fire service. That was actually recognized and was given the Senator Sarbanes Award for leadership and safety and health at the national level. So during the congressional dinner, where we have different dignitaries that come, different Senator Steny Hoyer, who's a strong supporter of the fire service, is one of the keynote speakers that's at that. He actually stayed for dinner this time. And we were honored to be recognized for that work, both the original and the update that we did in trying to reduce firefighter cancer within the system. And I was honored to come back and be part of that award that we wrote. The other piece that I was able to do was tie in with our new U.S. Fire Administrator, Dr. Lori Moore Merrill, who replaced Keith Bryant. One of her focuses is more data-driven. She wants to look at how do we create data for recruitment and retention and get high quality people into the fire service and then maintain them. That happens to tie into what I now started as of yesterday, my doctoral work. And I'm trying to coordinate with the U.S. Fire Administrator on how do we put together the studies and garner the data to get high quality people into the fire service and able to maintain them within the fire service. So we'll be having a little additional dialogues as I finalize down my thesis piece, and we have the opportunity to use our national levels. One of the other interesting pieces that she said that's being explored at the national level now is it's called the U.S. Fire Administration. But what they've noticed at the federal level to try to bring things together is that the emergency medical component is so strong, they're taking action at the national level that it will most likely become the U.S. Fire and EMS Administration. So therefore, all of the field responders other than law have one person that can come in and speak to Congress, speak at the national level to drive both consistency for fire and EMS pieces and reduce some of the fracture. Be happy to answer any question. That concludes staff reports.
No questions. doesn't sound like it. Just a comment. Congratulations on the award. I know you worked really hard on that, and looking for bigger and better things in the future. Okay. Any commissioners' musings?
I'd just like to the 10:30 ferry out the day of the fire. And so I got down there about 9:30. I would like to just commend, I guess that's for you, Chief Monitor, because you were the one setting it all up. What I saw was no chaos. And
well, you missed the first 15.
Well, I know.
It was dark when that part happened.
I saw no chaos. It seemed like every, you know, my perspective, everybody knew what they were doing, and thankful that you were able to
do it. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I do just, I want to say, Engine 31 arrived. I arrived. I know we're going to hear the audio video. We were fighting fire right away, and I wouldn't say it was chaotic. It was just busy and exciting. And I wanted more people now, and that was sort of my tone, but it was systemic or systematic. It was systemic too, but it was systematic. And I felt basically the whole time I felt like we all had it under as much control as we could. We were under control, and there was always a plan, and everyone was adhering to it. So I think the whole agency is commendable on that level. Everybody did their part, and we put fire, we just put it out and we saved what we could. It was business.
Yeah. I just wanted to add to that. When I got to the command post You were very cool, calm, and collective. I've been to enough big fires and seen chiefs who had the target sign in their eyes, you know, just the wild stare, like, what's going on? We don't know. And I never saw that, which I thought was fantastic.
Thank you.
It really did go as well as could be expected with what resources we had and what we had to work with. There's only so much you can do with the people you have. And no matter how quickly they come, it's never fast enough. You're sitting there, you know, the chief's been in that situation. I've been in that situation.
It takes forever.
It's, even if it takes them 5 minutes, that's 4 minutes too long. So I thought it went really well, and I thought everybody did an excellent job.
We do have a new nickname for one of our members of the organization. if you know Michael Hartzell, he's a lieutenant. He's on shift here. And I will say, when I pulled up, I thought he had swung somehow from his seat in his officer's seat to the pre-connect to across the street all in one motion. he was basically, you know, flying with that pre-connect and getting things done so fast that, I mean, he was screaming for water before I think his operator even got out of the rig. So,
of good training.
Yeah, I call him Streak. He doesn't like that, but that's what I saw was a streak.
Okay, so the word goes out now that whenever you see Lieutenant Hartzell, it's automatically
Streak. It's Lieutenant Streak.
You have my permission.
The other thing I want to share, and I don't want to share, you know, I want to share this for the group because I think it's a testament to the effort and the professionalism and how hard our membership worked to do the right thing for this community. And that is that the ATF, multiple agents from the ATF, hearing testimony from myself and Lieutenant Hartzell multiple times, are astounded that we were able to keep the fire the size we did and are astounded that we actually kept it from spreading to the other buildings. So that needs to be shared because that goes to the whole organization. The organization did a phenomenal job of keeping the eye on the target and keeping that fire from spreading.
Good job.
Is it out of place for the audience to speak up and say thank you very much?
It is, but I'll accept it. Thank you.
Albert, have anything? Albert, have anything?
Oh, Albert, do you have anything?
You know, it's a tragic loss, but it's a tremendous experience. It's a learning experience. It brings all the agencies together. All the agencies will, you know, how they interact and going forward, it'll help the community. It'll help all the agencies, and it just gives everybody a little better purpose in the life that we're in this emergency services. So it's a tremendous learning opportunity, and it will improve everybody, like the chief says, you know. We have EMS, we have sheriff, we have the town, the county, and everybody, you know, nobody ever really gets together and talks about what if. Well, this forces the what if. So, you know, going forward, everybody will learn, and it'll benefit all the agencies. That's all I have.
Thank you. Well, motion to. Having no more business before the fire commission, do I have a motion to adjourn?
We have a motion.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Motion. Aye.
We are
adjourned. We'll see you next month.